Good morning, and it's good to see you in church and have a bit of fun with that. Who started their Christmas shopping? Christmas shopping. Did some of you get that about the re-gift with a gift card? Who re-gifts to you? Jared, I buy you the presents. You re-gift my gifts. Fantastic. It's awesome, isn't it? Well, it's Christmas time, and I can assure you that we're going to have such a great Sunday next week. And Helen, there's food. There's good food. I'd expect good food. Fantastic. It's great, isn't it? And then also we've got our, hey, if you're a young adult over the age of 18 or you finished high school and it was your last year of year 12, well, then I'd love you to join with us. We've got our final night of the year, our worship night. And but we've just, you know, because it's Christmas, we've got to have a bit of fun as well. So you've got to bring a Secret Santa and a Secret Santa gift. And the weirder, the better. So I think Amber's bought something that you can play on the toilet. no more about that. That's great. Anyway, let's pray and then we'll start with the Word of God. Father, I just want to thank you that, God, that as your Word is spoken today, that you are going to bring transformation to our life, that it is the Word of God that has the capacity to change us. I pray this morning that you will just impart faith where faith is needed. God, you will impart hope where people have lost hope. And Father, we just pray that we will leave this place lighter than when we came in. That the burdens that we've been carrying and the regret of the past will be left here this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I've been praying for you this week. How did I go? Have you had a good week? I pray for you just about every day. I was praying for you very early this morning. I am praying that your world will be fantastic, that you're going to live your best life. I'm praying that those of you that need healing in your body, God is going to heal you. I'm praying for those of you that need work, that you're going to get a job. I'm praying for those of you that want to get the best ATAR score. I can't do much about that if you didn't study, but I'm praying that you won't collapse. No, I'm praying for you and love you very much. Nigel and I love you, C3 Fremantle. It's good to be your pastor. Well, this morning I'm going to be speaking on the last of our series on finishing well. And I said to Nigel, I really wanted to preach this message because I'm not an expert in many things, but I'm an expert in this, and that is failing. Has anyone else failed at anything in their life? Well, I've failed at a lot of things, so I actually believe that I'm an expert in this topic today. So we're going to be reading from the theme scripture that we've actually had, that Nigel's been talking about the last 4 weeks, and it's from Philippians 3 verses 13 and 14 from the NIV version. And the title of my message is Letting Go. And so Paul talks about, but one thing I do, one thing. You know, I'm reading this great book called Essentialism at the moment. Can't remember the name of the author. Greg Cowan. And the author talks about that, you know, we use the word priorities. We talk about the 10 priorities in our life, but actually that's almost a contradiction, because priority means one thing, the main thing. And so we can often, in a corporate setting, we can say, well, we've got, the organization has 10 priorities. You can't have 10 one things, can you? You can't have 10 main things. There's either one main thing and 9 others. And this is what Paul's talking about. He says, this one thing that I do is forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Other translations say, I don't look back, or I forget the past. And this morning I want to focus on the part of the scripture that refers to forgetting what is behind. And Paul was referring to this in the context of letting go of his past. Before he came to know Jesus Christ, he was a fanatic who murdered Christians. In his thinking, this fanaticism was somehow pleasing to God. Sounds similar to some thinking today? And at the writing of the book of Philippians in AD 62, Paul had been a Christian for 26 years. 6 years later, he would be executed by Nero in Rome. So these are the writings of a mature man, both in his faith and his age. And Paul gives us in a few words the keys to overcoming the shortcomings or failures of our past. Might pop our phones on silent if we don't mind, guys. Won't take up too much of your time. Paul gives us in a few words the keys to overcoming those shortcomings. He says, firstly, we are to choose to forget the past. Secondly, we focus our efforts on the future. And thirdly, the only way we can do this effectively is by keeping Jesus front and center. And so this morning I want to focus on forgetting our past failures. You know, it's been my observation that so many Christians are being robbed of a bright future because of being stuck in a place of regret at past failures. And I include myself in this. And what that causes us to do is to become stuck. People have failed in, they feel they failed in marriages, relationships. He dumps you, she dumps you. We've failed in business situations. We failed getting that ATAR school or that university school that we wanted. We failed an exam. We failed the stock market. We bought those wrong shares. There are so many things we can look at and we can think we fail. And many of us even feel that we failed God, that we tried something and we failed, and God's disappointed with us. And many people become stuck. And this morning I want us, all of myself included, to finish well. And it's my goal by the end of this morning that you will forgive yourself and others so you can move forward into a new year with new possibilities. Pastor Rick Warren says, in America, failure is almost an unpardonable sin. We idolize success, but that kind of pressure creates major stress on people. We have fear of failure, and it can have many different faces, he says. It can cause you to become indecisive, a workaholic, a perfectionist, or a person who clings to safety and never takes risks. I want you to write this down. This is your absolute piece of wisdom from me this morning. This is profound. Are you ready? You will never overcome your failure until you fully accept the reality that you're not perfect. You will never overcome your failure until you fully accept the reality that you're not perfect. Profound, isn't it? You see, my first point is that we've all failed. Failure is not just a you problem, it's a human problem. Everyone has or will fail at something, at some time in their life. And Ecclesiastes 7 verse 20 says in the Good News Translation, there is no one on earth who does what is right all the time and never makes a mistake. Has anyone here never made a mistake? Okay, has anyone here made a mistake? Right now, you're actually failing at something in your life right now. I'll tell you what I'm failing in. I started a diet. about 4 weeks ago when I got back from Africa. Oh my gosh. I am not doing well. It's Christmas time. Seriously, what was I thinking? Every one of us are failing at some area right now. We've all made poor choices, haven't we? We've experienced setbacks, defeats, losses, and failures. Here's a few reasons why we fail. There's many, but here's just a few. When you fail to properly plan, procrastination. When you think you've arrived and you become arrogant in that success. When you're afraid of what others will think. This is a huge one for young adults. Is that actually failing because not doing anything? Because we're actually so worried about the opinions of others that we don't do anything. And that's why we've got so much anxiety in a generation of young people. We often fail when we give up too soon. Or we lack discipline to see that thing through. Or when we ignore God's advice. Secondly, recognize the benefits of failure. Thomas Edison, commenting on one of his many failed experiments, said, "Don't call it a failure. Call it an education. At the very least, failure shows you what doesn't work." You see, failure will force you to be more creative. You look for new ways of doing things. That seriously is not my phone, is it? Might have to put that on silent. Someone's All the people I love are here. Who's texting me? Oh my gosh, that's so funny. So it forces us to become more creative. We look at ways of doing new things, don't we? Failure prevents arrogance and egotism. If everything you did was a stunning success, no one could live with you. Yeah? You young people? Yeah? Come on. No such thing as that self-made man or woman, is there? Failure creates empathy in us for others. We are more forgiving when others fail. Have you ever found that? I know I have. You know, we can be arrogant. And, you know, but then we do things wrong or things go wrong and there's a greater empathy that we have for other people because we realise that, but by the grace of God, there goes me. And we realise just how grateful we are. You know, as I get older, I've said this before, life isn't as black and white as it used to be when I was younger. There's a lot more grey because you become more empathetic because you realise that life is a lot more complicated than what we realise. And failure causes you to reevaluate what's important in life. Sometimes we can be going down a certain way and then something happens and we realise, well, actually, is that the course that I want to do? Is that the direction I want to go for with my life? And it's one way that God gets us to reflect on the direction of our lives. You know, those times where we fail, we can actually use it as an opportunity to get God's advice about our life. Because as I said, you know, in our society, we don't have to pray for our daily bread. We pretty much get it. We've got a fantastic government that if we don't have a job, they'll help us. You know, we look after those with disabilities and we look after those people with mental health issues and all those different areas. And what happens is, though, is that what that's created in our Western society is an individualism, that we can do it on our own. We don't need anyone. But when, you know, failures come into our life or where we've done something and made a mistake, what I find is it really recenters me back to God. You know, God's given us a brain. He wants us to get out there and live our life. But there are times where failure comes, we can go back to God and we can say, God, am I living right? Am I doing this right? And what it makes us see is that, you know what? We actually need God. We need God in our world and in our life. Proverbs 20 verse 30 says in the Good News Bible, sometimes it takes a painful situation to make us change our ways. Have you ever found that? Have you ever found that, you know, through that painful situation we've changed, and none of us liked it at the time. None of us have liked it, the pain of that. I remember when Nigel broke his foot, and he had to have an operation on his foot. He had to learn how to walk on the other foot for a season. It's painful, isn't it? But what the pain does is the pain actually produces health. And so what we need to see is those situations, you know, can produce health if we allow it to. Thirdly, we need to redefine failure. What our society says failure is and what failure actually is different. What is failure? What is it? Is it failing to reach our goal? No. It's not having one. That's failure. Is it failing to reach a target? No. It's not having a target. You know, in 22 years of pastoring this church, we have tried so many different things. We have tried so many different programs, and we've had some fabulous successes. And we've had some things that have flopped quite badly. And, you know, on occasion people have come and have really been quite critical and said, you know, well, that wasn't a success, was it? Or that was a bit of a failure or a flop. And my response has always been, you know what? I would rather give it a go. I would rather give it a go. I'm confident enough to live with a perceived failure than not wanting to give something a go. I think of our campus down at Wellard. You know, as Pastor Nigel and I were praying for this several years before Wellard started, we were like, we would rather give it a go. What have we got to lose? What? Our reputation? Our self-image? Who cares? But Richard on the bass guitar was the first person that gave his life to Christ in Wellard campus. Come on. We have to stop being afraid of getting out there and doing things. Young people, you've got to get out there and you've got to start doing things. You've got to stop thinking what other people think about you. Because if not, you're going to be robbed of the dreams that God has for you. And only your generation can see them come to pass. Only your generation has the skill set to do it. I can hardly turn on an iPad or a computer without my kids telling me I'm stupid. You guys are going to change the world. But if you're caught up in what other people think about you, you'll never do it. Or that someone else is better than you, you'll never do it. I can assure you there is someone else out there that's better than you, smarter than you, prettier than you, got more money than you, all the rest of it. But I want to say God has a plan and you haven't even touched the surface of what he wants to do for you. You haven't. But sometimes we're so scared of failing, we don't want to do anything. Well, why don't we just be a church of people that give it a go? And let's just see what happens. What are we going to do when we stand before God? We're going to, you know, this is what happened. The man with the talents, God gave three people talents. Talents was money, coins in those days. One went out and he doubled his money. Another one went out and he did really well. He had the gift of entrepreneurship. That boy, he owned half of the property. But there was one guy who said, oh, no, I couldn't do that. I'm too frightened. I'll just put that away. God said, it's really quite interesting because Jesus tells the story and God is actually angry. You don't read about God being angry very much in the Bible. And God said, you wasted what I gave you. You wasted it. He didn't mind that the other two went out and had a go. He applauded that, but God was angry because we wouldn't give it a go. And I think that God has put so much in every person in this room. Forget what age you are. Don't tell me, we talked about this the other day. Don't tell me that you're too old because Abraham, he had a son at 100. Come on. Avena, you laughed. That's an in-house joke, that one. Come on. Come on. We need to redefine it. Failure isn't about getting knocked down. It's when we don't get back up again. You get back up. Unless we redefine failure, you will fall into self-pity. I told you, I know this sermon. I've lived this sermon. I am the queen of a person who has failed. And what do we do when we fail? We go to self-pity. Woe is me. It's not fair. Or worse, we go into self-loathing. We think, oh, I'm stupid, I'm hopeless, I'm useless, I'll never be able to do anything. And that results in us wanting to isolate ourselves because we think everyone else's life is the Facebook life, the Instagram life, the Snapchat life. It's out having a cup of coffee with your toes in the picture and the on the beach in the background or the big scotch fillet or whatever it is. We all think that that's it. We think everyone else's life is wonderful and we're the stupid ones. There's something wrong with us. We have to redefine failure. So how do we move forward? Because that's what Paul says. He says we forget. We let go. We move forward. How do we do that? Firstly, you need to accept responsibility for your part in your failure. Don't blame. If you've made a mistake, admit it. Welcome to the human race. You know, I've said this before. Nigel and I have been married 30 years and, you know, it's been a great ride. But it's been a very robust marriage. Those of you that are married, you will get that. We've had very robust discussions along the way. And, you know, I remember this time saying to him, I'm done. I can't do this with you anymore. I am sick and tired of this behaviour in you. And he turned around and he said to me, I'm trying to change. And I thought, ouch, what more can I ask? Trying to change. You see, we've got to stop blaming. We've got to stop being the victim. And we need to say, I've made a mistake, I own it. And then we need to go to God and say, God, because he already knows. He already knows that you've made a mistake. He already knows that you've blown it. He already knows that you took that extra drink you probably shouldn't have had. He knows what you watch on Netflix. Seriously, where's the PG channel on Netflix? Goodness me. He knows. And we just need to say, God, you know what? I shouldn't have watched that pornography. God, I shouldn't have had that extra drink. God, I shouldn't have looked at that woman. He knows. And what we need to do is we need to go, you know what? I am sorry, God. Ask his forgiveness. He's so gracious. He's so understanding of our perfections. And then we need to move on. Secondly, we need to forgive ourselves. I have this statement I use all the time, and that is, we need to draw a line in the sand and we need to choose to step over it. It's water under the bridge. You cannot change some of the past. If your marriage is over and you are divorced, there is nothing you can do about it now. You need to keep moving forward. If your business has failed, if you've lost your job, if your kids are not doing so well at the moment, let go of the past. If that guy dumped you, that girl dumped you, you didn't get into uni, whatever it is, choose to let it go. Why do we need to let it go? Because we need to focus on our future. I was sharing this some time ago that I was vacuuming because us women can multitask. So I was praying and vacuuming. And all the girls get that joke. And so I was praying and I was vacuuming at the same time. And I was thinking about a situation from a few years before. And I said to God, I said, oh God, I deeply regret how I handled that situation. And I just felt the whisper of God say to me, it's not over yet. Let's rewrite the story. And to me, that had a profound impact on me. I came across this scripture in Psalm 18:21 a few days later that said, God rewrote the text of my life. When I opened the book of my heart to him. Do you know every one of you that has made a mistake, that has failed at something, God can rewrite the story. He can rewrite your story. It could have been out of your control. He can still rewrite your story. It could be something here today that you're deeply ashamed of. He can rewrite your story. God can rewrite your story. And I want to say to you today that I say this with every ounce of my being, that if we don't do anything else at C3 Fremantle, let's all just finish together. Let's just finish the race together. Let's just get up and let's just keep going on. Don't let the devil take you out through disappointment and discouragement. Just say, God, we're going to keep going forward. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. You've got to be moving forward. You've got to forgive yourself. Let go of the past. Okay, you married the wrong girl. You took the wrong job. Whatever it may be, don't worry. God can use those situations. You've got to just keep going forward, though. If you stay stuck, you will not achieve. You will become bitter and cynical at life. Thirdly, look at things more objectively. Some things work, some things don't. Stop beating yourself up about it. Move on. If you're a type A personality and you have a high level of perfectionism, you won't cope when things aren't perfect. You've got to nail that sucker because things aren't perfect. We live in a broken world. And it's getting more and more broken. So you and I have to realize that the standards and the expectations we have, we need to lower sometimes our expectations. And if we're oversensitive about things that aren't working and take it too personally, then it's hard to learn from those mistakes and failures. And you'll keep repeating them. You need to allow people that you love and trust to speak into your world. Now, I have a mentor and a coach. His name's John Finkelde. Some of you know them. Oh, my gosh, he's spoken some words into my life. He has told me many a time, you need to change that, you need to work on that. And he's always done it with love, but he's never been afraid to speak to me. And we need people in our lives that we can trust that are going to say, don't do that. That's not good for you. If you keep doing that, it's going to end in pain. You know, I just think if we don't learn from it, we'll also be robbed. You know, in the book of John in chapter 18, you've got this young guy, he's about 17, 18, his name's Peter, and he absolutely loves Jesus. He's 150% into Jesus. But then those tough times come, and throughout the 3.5 years, Jesus is mentoring him, discipling him. And there's a few times where Peter just says the most inappropriate things and Jesus just has to keep pulling him back. But he's young and he's enthusiastic and he says to Jesus, you know, Jesus, I'll die for you. Come on, we sing those songs in church on Sunday, don't we? Oh God, I'll die for you. Well, this is Peter. He was in one of those moments. Jesus, I'll die for you. Jesus says to him, well, actually, in not long, you're going to deny me. You're going to basically F and blime and tell them that you don't know me and you're going to deny me. And Peter's like, no, I won't, no, I won't, no, I won't. Jesus says, you will. Now often, and of course, then the story goes on. It's the part of where Jesus is sent before the council where they actually send him off to be crucified. And Peter does that. Three times he denies Jesus. Jesus says, a rooster will crow. And that at that point, you'll remember what I said. And that's what happens in this story. Peter does that. He denies Jesus. You know, I've got a belief that Jesus didn't tell Peter to condemn him, to say, like us Australians would be, oh, yeah, right, you know, yeah, right. You know, you can't even be faithful to me while I go to be crucified because the rooster's going to crow and, yeah, you're just going to deny me. I believe that Jesus said that to Peter. He was like, Peter, actually, you're going to deny me. And the reason I reckon Jesus said that to Peter was because he knew that Peter at that point was going to fail. Bible says that Peter went off and he wept bitterly. His heart was broken that he had denied his Saviour. And I believe that Jesus said to Peter, Peter, you're going to deny me, not to condemn, but to say, hey, you're going to fail, but it's okay because I'm going to be there. And so when Jesus is resurrected, who does he find? He finds Peter. He says to Peter, build my church. And you know, when Peter had to later deny Jesus because he also was crucified, he went to his crucifixion, never denying his Lord again. That's the power that you and I have over someone else's life, that when those around us fail, that we don't crucify them. But what we do is we say, hey, it's okay. There's forgiveness. There's mercy. Because there'll be times in their life, if we show mercy and compassion, that they will go to their cross later on because they knew that the worst of their behavior, they were still loved and accepted. And that's what we do as the church. We say, because of Christ, it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter your failures. It doesn't matter your past, because I want to say to you, there is a God that forgives you, who tells you, forget your past, forgive yourself because I'll forgive you, and you press on to your future. So fifthly, we need to focus on our future, which means we've got to get moving. Winston Churchill said, success is not final. Success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It is the courage to continue that matters. Successful people are not people who've never failed. They are people who get up again and again and again and keep going. They refuse to quit. They are simply ordinary people like you and I who have an extraordinary amount of determination. Come on. They just refuse to quit. The famous basketballer Michael Jordan said, if you quit once, it becomes a habit. Don't quit. General Douglas MacArthur said, age wrinkles the body. Quitting wrinkles the soul. There have been many times over the years where I have said, that's it, I cannot do it anymore. I want out of this marriage, I want out of this job, I want out of this family, I am done. Anyone courageous enough to actually admit they've ever said that too? All right, don't put your hands up, that's okay. We've all said it. It's like, I'm over you. I always say it when the children were younger, I'd say to them, that's it, I've had enough, I've had enough, I'm going. And Nigel would go, can I come? I go, that is not the point. If I'm running away and then the kids would go, well, can we come? I go, it's not the point. I'm running away. I don't want to do this anymore. We've all done it, haven't we, where we've just wanted to quit. And there have been so many times where I've gone into that quiet place and poured out my heart to Jesus and said, I can't do this. I can't do it anymore. And I felt the whisper of the Holy Spirit say, I know you can't. That's why you've got me. That's why we have God, because we can't. We are going to fail. We're human. And he helps us get up again when we want to quit or we feel like we've failed. And over time, he'll turn that mourning into dancing and our sorrow into joy. You know, like the play that we saw last week of the Shunammite woman, she grabs onto the prophet's legs and she won't let go. All you have to do to be successful, all you have to do is to not let God go. Don't let him go. Don't let him go. We cling to God until the bruises of life fade. The scar will always be there, but it'll fade. The battering and the bruising of life we feel will fade, and we're ready to give things another go. And it's my prayer today that you will, going into 2018, that you will choose to let go of the past and you will look to the future where you'll go, God, I'm ready for something else. I'm ready for something new. I'm ready for more, God. This isn't over yet. I don't care how old you are, how young you are. It's where you go, God, I'm ready. What is it you've got for me? You see, success is finishing well. And I believe that every person in this room can do that. Every person can finish well. But if you wouldn't mind, I'm just going to ask you to close your eyes for a moment. And I just want to finish our service this morning by doing two things. One is I just want to spend a moment in reflection. You see, you'll never overcome your failure until you fully accept the reality that you're not perfect and that the only perfect one is God. Today, would you just spend a moment saying, God, I'm going to let go. Maybe you just need to spend a moment saying to God, would you forgive me, Lord? Would you forgive me, God? Because I have done some things that I am ashamed of. I can assure you God will forgive you. Maybe today you need to forgive yourself, where you've just had such high expectations, where you just go, oh my gosh, I'm not as successful as I want to be. I'm not this, I'm not that. Just forgive yourself. Or maybe you need to forgive other people here today. Other people that who've told you that you're a failure. I grew up with that. Told you you're not worth anything. Told you that you were the problem, the marriage failed. Told you that you were stupid, that's why you couldn't get into uni. Whatever it is today, forgive them. Let it go. You're going to finish well. It's not based on what other people say. It's based on what God says about you, and that's very different. Maybe you're anxious today because you're worried about what other people will think about you because you want to be a Christian and live a Christian life. You don't want to go out and do the things that other people are doing. Maybe there's a lot of anxiety there. You know, I look at my life and, you know, I'm a pretty ordinary person. But I look at it and I see how blessed I have been up to this point in my life. I have been so blessed, not by some of the world's standards, you know, but so blessed in so many areas. And I know it's because there has been less of a propensity for me to fail because I followed God's way. Because God, in His Word, can direct my path. Because God is very much involved in my life, where He can turn those disappointments and those failings into something very special. It's very hard to do that if you don't know Christ. You blame yourself. You can't see a future. But all you need to do, it's so simple. It was never meant to be difficult. It was to come back into relationship with Christ. It was to say to Christ, God, I want you to be Lord of my life. I want you to direct my path. I want you to turn my disappointments into successes. I want you, God, to help me make something beautiful out of those disappointments. And God will do it. It'll take time. It'll take you to change. But God will do it. That's why he came, because he loved us. And he saw a world that was failing. It was dying in its own misery. And God came because he loved us so much. He sent, and that's what Christmas is about, he sent Jesus Christ, his son. So that you and I, God came at that point so that the world would stop making a mess. And God gave us a reason. I'm going to ask you in a moment to pray. I would love it if everybody prayed. At the end of that prayer, I'm going to invite you to receive Jesus Christ as Lord of your life. You may believe in God, but you just don't have that. You don't hear the whisper of the Holy Spirit. The talking and the prompting of God who's directing and leading your life. You can have that. You can have an intimate relationship with a loving Father. Today that you've come back to church, but you've not been coming to church for a while, for a number of reasons. Would you pray this prayer as well? And at the end of that, would you put up your hand? Guys, don't waste time. Let today be the line in the sand where you cross over and go, I want Christ back in my life. I want Jesus to make something beautiful out of my failing. Would you pray with me if we all stand, please? And this is a solemn moment for some people. So I would ask you out of respect to close your eyes. Would you pray with me right now? Dear Jesus, today I ask that you would be Lord of my life. I ask you to come into my heart right now. And I accept your leadership over my life. Today I'm trusting that the failings of the past will be forgiven and forgotten. And I'm going to look forward to a future that has you in it. And you're going to make something beautiful of my life. And it's going to be better than what I could have ever imagined. Today, God, I receive you. I want you as Lord of my life. In the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen.